In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
You know what time it is.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic.
Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James with the rejection!
Holy cow! Oh my God! I don't believe it! It just continues!
Welcome back to a very special episode of the Sports Hour. This is Mitch Mo.
And this is Dallin. And with us, once again, our favorite guest we've ever had, Bobby from Simple Man Radio. Welcome back.
What's going on, fellas, man? I'm glad to be back on. Glad to, you know, talk a little NFL draft with you guys. Hope all has been well.
Yeah, it's been good. You know, this is the perfect time to have one Bobby on the podcast. After the draft and after the Giants made what you could call a controversial pick at number six, and as the resident Giant expert on Twitter, it just makes sense that you're on here with us today.
Yeah, I like that expert tag. You know, we were talking before the show where I was like, I'm trying to be more professional with Giants, breaking down film. But then, you know, I get on with you guys and do Simple Man, and I kind of let that all out the window. So we'll have a little fun with it.
Yeah, we got to be casual. I will say at the very least, Bobby, you are a Daniel Jones truther at the very least. You know, with how much tape and research you've done into this kid, you are the know-it-all on Daniel Jones at this point.
I try at least I'm like the positive spin, and I guess we'll jump right into the Daniel Jones pick. And like, if you asked me like 2-3 weeks before the draft, I'm like, oh, Daniel Jones sucks. But I hadn't really looked at him yet, you know. And I didn't like Haskins because I did a decent amount of homework on Haskins, and I was like, everybody's open. Like, and I got into it with somebody last night because I got pissed off by an analyst using the Daniel Jones is too aw shucks. I was like, what does that even mean? He's too aw shucks. And so that turned into like, okay, like, what sucks about like sports debate is, and like, yeah, like I build up Daniel Jones, but it's like now I'm going and tearing down Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. I was like, he had a great game against Michigan, 395 yards passing, but 285 of those were runs after the catch, and he literally just handed the ball off to somebody and they counted it as a run. So I didn't really like Haskins, and that was complete. I don't know why I got off on that side tangent. But the more I watched Jones, like, the more I actually really like him. Like, you know, when we made the pick on Thursday, you know, I screamed like, no, what are we doing? I want Josh Allen. And I mean, I'm always kind of like a positive spin kind of guy. So I'm like, hey, on him. Because I'd watched the Clemson game, the Temple game, and another one. I can't remember which one I had watched before. And like it was okay, but I didn't really like sit down. But the more I looked into this guy, I really like him, and I think he was the best QB in the draft. If you can debate Kyler Murray because he's like so exciting, he's just such a different type of player. It's hard to compare him. But I mean, I'm in full bloom love with Daniel Jones, as Dave Gettleman would say.
So here's the thing: we got let's take a step back here. What don't you like about Dwayne Haskins? I mean, 50 touchdowns. At Ohio State last year. I mean, that is such a mark. Like, what is it about his game that makes you want Daniel Jones over Dwayne Haskins?
I wouldn't say it's like, oh, like Dwayne Haskins, like you suck. It's more of like you can put it in any way you want, but guys were wide open. And like, you look at the Michigan game against the number one defense. Like, you look at those stats: 5 touchdowns. You know, almost like 400 yards passing it. Like, damn, man, he carved them up. And it's just a lot of stuff that's within 5 yards. And the guys take it to the house or take it for 20, 25 yards. You look at that game-winning drive against Penn State. That was in the middle of the season. I remember that was a Saturday night game. 3-play game-winning drive. And the ball never passed the line of scrimmage in the air. So it's just, you know, and it's hard to get on a guy like, what? This guy sucks. He throws to people who are open, because I get that that's a deal, but it's a lot different in Ohio State versus in the NFL. And then to compare to Jones got beat up at Duke. Like, I've never seen a guy. Well, I've seen guys, but he took beatings and he delivered accurate. Like his accuracy is unbelievable. And people say like, oh, he doesn't have a strong arm. I don't know where that comes from, because when you watch his deep balls, they're beautiful. And the guy had like 4+ drops every game, except for the Temple game, which was the bowl game. So that's kind of the one everyone remembers, where he had 3 and they weren't long ones. But I think I counted like 6 or 7 games where he had 80+ yards worth of drops. And like, he just always makes the right. There's 3 plays that stick out. 2 were actually in the Temple game where he had 6 touchdowns, where he's like, man, what are you doing? But besides that, it's like he makes plays. And he does the best with what he could. Like, he's very mobile too.
So a lot of people would make the argument that, you know, look at the conferences they were playing in, right? Daniel Jones is coming from the ACC, a not necessarily known as a football powerhouse. Where Dwayne Haskins is coming from the Big Ten, a lot of high level football competition in that conference. So, I mean, everything that you said makes sense about, you know, Haskins' game, the not really showing a willingness to push the ball down the field, letting his receivers' athleticism.
Well, Haskins will throw it downfield. It's just guys are, I mean, it's hard to judge a guy when everything's open all the time. Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no, definitely. You're right there. I mean, I just look at the level of competition that they were both coming from. And I mean, like, I'm on the other side. I'm on the other side of the fence. I don't like the Daniel Jones pick. And a big part of it is like, I mean, other than you who went to go watch Duke football this year because you were looking at Daniel Jones, like, I don't know of anyone else who watched Duke football. Like, this guy just seemed like to come out of nowhere. And I feel like so little about his game is actually known.
I agree, man. And that's why, like, I couldn't, like I didn't like him until I actually went and watched him, you know. And I was listening to a Russillo podcast. He was like he's like my favorite guy that covers sports on a national level. And he said, like, you know, like, yeah, like, he, like, I don't blame people for like not knowing everything on Daniel Jones, because not everyone like has this stupid hobby that I have of watching freaking game tape. Like I understand, like,
it's a good hobby to have. I will say
I'm not gonna I'm not gonna tell the guy that, you know, one of my customers, like, you're actually wrong about Daniel Jones. I've watched every single snap, you idiot. Like, I'm not expecting people to do that.
Let him have it, Bobby. Let him have it.
Which I kind of want to sometimes.
Yeah, you should. But, you should.
But anyways, like, it's just when I watch him, I love what I see. And I just don't really see any flaws in his game. Like, yeah, he'll stare down a receiver at times, but I mean, show me an NFL quarter or show me a rookie quarterback that didn't do that besides maybe Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
And I just think he's a ball. I mean, you look, you know, and I'm not like a Trubisky stan, but Trubisky came out of that UNC. And then with the whole Ohio, like, Urban Meyer is an amazing coach. Like, he as far as an offensive coach, there's nobody better than him, except for maybe Dabo. But I think Dabo is more of like that, you know, head of the organization, where Urban is he's a really good offensive coach. Obviously, they have Ryan Day, who's taking over for him, another good offensive coach. And I'm not going to, you know, say Tebow and Haskins are the same. But I mean, you look at Tebow's staff against the great call Haskins. And if Haskins can find guys open and dink and dunk and only throw people that are open, and not have to, you know, throw guys open and thread the needle, like, more power to him. I mean, Tom Brady's had a second career doing this. Well, he might be a good decision maker. It's just we don't know, because he's never really had. And I was watching the Washington game last night, and it was like Kirk Cousins, like, a good 5 seconds. And it's like there's literally somebody right in front of him, 10 yards with nobody within, like guys just sitting back, and then a corner route, a guy's wide out for a good 5 seconds, never thought to look to his left.
Yeah, maybe you know, Haskins doesn't show a great ability to make his reads and you know, go through his progressions. Yeah, every play has a progression of, you know, here's your first option, here's your second option, third option, then check down. And, you know, maybe he does have an inability to do that. That's going to be interesting to see, especially in a Redskins offense where you have a weapon like Chris Thompson that's so easy to check down to. It's going to be interesting to see how quickly that he does opt down to that check down, because that's the safe and comfortable thing for him to do.
Yeah, and I'm not like saying Haskins isn't going to be good. Like he has a good arm. He's not as accurate as Jones, but he is accurate. And like if he can find guys open the next level, like more power to him. But you know, like you said, Chris Thompson. Besides that, they're very thin at receiver, except for they drafted Terry McLaurin, one of the Ohio State receivers, mm-hmm. who I like a lot. I think he was one of the top three receivers in the draft, and I think they got him in the third round. I like him a lot. I don't know how much of an instant impact he'll have, but you know, there'll definitely be that connection.
Yeah,
but it's just going to be a whole different ball game for Haskins now in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I mean, in any college quarterback, it's all about development. I mean, none of these guys come in ready to dominate the NFL. There's some sort of development that's required in the NFL, and there's also just a matter of situation. You know, guys get thrown into ideal situations and are able to flourish. Guys that aren't are going to struggle no matter how talented they are. And so, you know, is Haskins or Jones, are they going to be successful in the places they are? A lot of it doesn't necessarily even come down to their talent, but just, you know, one, the talent around them, and then two, you know, the coaching and the development that they're going to receive, if that's going to be enough for them.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like, there's very few guys like an Andrew Luck where it's like you put him on any franchise and he's going to succeed.
Exactly.
And I believe in Jones, but I'm like, and I've kind of used this as a disclaimer. Like, yes, I believe in Jones wholeheartedly, but this is the one position that the best in the business get wrong. And then sometimes the worst in the business get right. It's so hard to project a QB at the next level. Whereas defensive end, it's like, this guy's a beast. He has great moves, and it's going to project to the NFL.
Right. Whereas
it's just QB. It's a whole different game, the next level. So, like, I could be completely wrong, but I just looking at them and then, you know, trying to project into the NFL, I see Jones as a better prospect.
Yeah. Now, keeping it with Daniel Jones real quick, I just want to ask, my biggest issue with Daniel Jones, I am a believer of when you have your guy, like, you just go get him. You know, like, you know, don't think about it too much. If that's your guy, go get him. I believe in that. But at the same time, there's also value that you have to weigh in the draft. And for me, I feel like that was not the right pick at number six because of the value of that pick. And you mentioned a guy, Josh Allen, who fell to that spot, which was not expected to happen. And to me, that's like the second best player in this draft. So when you have a guy fall to your spot and you're weighing Josh Allen versus Daniel Jones at six, to me, that's where my issue is, not necessarily with Jones as a quarterback, but just the value that to get him at six. Obviously, like you said, your initial reaction, you weren't super excited about it, but how have you kind of dealt with, Bobby, I guess, you know, coming to terms with Daniel Jones at six and not at 17 or not trading up from 17 to get him?
No, I definitely agree. If we don't draft Jones and we get Josh Allen and we don't get a QB this year, I'm still elated because of how great of a player Josh Allen is. I mean, he's just a beast. He does every single thing you ask him. And, like, he's a beast. And pass rusher is probably the second most, you know, important single position, you know, next to quarterback. But at the end of the day, if Jones is that guy, it's going to be worth it because we didn't, you know, now don't get me wrong. If we could have, you know, drafted Josh Allen and then traded up to, you know, 9 or 10 and got it to, like, Daniel Jones, like, yeah, that would have been amazing. But, like, and, you know, and you guys know this, we were talking about it, like, these draft rumors, it's before, you just can't believe anything before or after, because
yeah,
before people are trying to throw you off, and then after, like, and everyone's getting mad at Dave Gettleman saying, like, oh, because he's, you know, because he guaranteed that there was two teams that were picking him, and mm-hmm. he very well may be lying. Like, and I said on a show the other day, I don't, GMs, like, it's the – and I'm a fan of telling the truth. I definitely would never want to be in – like, I don't like lying. Like, I don't think people should lie. But I was saying, like, it must suck to be a GM where it's like, if you tell the truth, you're going to suck at your job.
Mm-hmm.
But the after the fact, like, the Redskins, like, oh, no, we didn't want Jones. We want – like, what are you going to say? Like, yeah, man, we really wanted Daniel Jones. He was a good player.
Yeah.
Credit to the Giants for drafting him, but listen, we had the setup with Haskins. We hope like who's going to come out and say that, you know?
Well, and when you look at it, it's not that unbelievable for Gettleman to say that there are two teams after them before 17 that were going to take him. I mean, you look at teams like Jacksonville, who's they're going to move on from Blake Bortles. Obviously, Nick Foles is in that spot now. But do you really put your full trust in Nick Foles? You go down to 13, Miami's there. This is, you know, pre Josh Rosen trade. So they're looking to take a quarterback. Obviously the Redskins wound up taking a quarterback. They took Dwayne Haskins. So it's not that far fetched to think that Gettleman thought that there were two teams after them before 17.
Yeah,
after and, them at six and before 17 that were gonna take Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and then Denver taking a Locke in the second round and be like, oh right. Yeah, he was number one on our board. It's like, was he John Elway? Was he really? Because I don't think so.
If he was number one on your board, that, you would have picked him at 10 and not traded out. I mean, you know, so, yeah, that's not – that's just talking him up.
As soon as – yeah, or as soon as, you know, those top three guys are off, you're trading up. Which I don't blame – like, I'm not – like, John Elway, why are you lying? Like,
right.
Like, well, I mean, can you really trust Jake Butt, though? Of course, they're. I mean, in my mind, it made total sense that they're going to take a tight end. But – I mean, it was a good move, I think, on the Steelers to trade up and go get a guy like Devin Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Let's transition, I think, maybe a little bit.
Let me say one more thing because you brought it up, Mitch.
Yeah.
That's one reason I wanted Josh Allen so bad. Going into this draft, I was so high on Josh Rosen. I was all in on the Josh Rosen train. And that's why I didn't put a lot of effort into, like, studying. That's why I only watched three games of Jones and four games of Haskins and two games of Locke because – I was all in on Josh Rosen, and I believe in Josh Rosen. I feel like he might be in the worst situation possible in Miami, but that's one of the reasons. like I was as soon as they officially made Kyler the number one pick, in my head I'm like, we're getting Josh Rosen. Let's hope either Quinnen or Josh Allen fall to us because we're getting Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean exactly. So lots of good quarterback talk here to start our post NFL draft conversation. But hey, Bobby, let me ask you a question. You ready?
Ask me a question.
Do you like ties?
I do.
Do you like ties? Do you like Hawaiian hand-stitched ties?
I do.
Hey, well, guess what? I got a company just for you. That's Nawai Designs. That's going to be the sponsor of today's podcast. Guys, go on NawaiDesigns.com and use the promo code SPORTSHOUR5. Get $5 off all handmade ties in a customer's order. And you live in the United States, right, Bobby?
Of America.
That's right. So guess what? It ships to you free. America. That's right. All orders
even
in the
Florida?
US.
Even Florida. Florida. Which may not be a part of America. We're not quite sure. But no matter what,
it might be part of Cuba. We're not really totally sure. But
it's going to get there.
If you live in the United States, it ships to you free. Guys, go visit Nawai Designs. They got great products over there. Use the promo code SPORTSHOUR5, get $5 off all handmade ties in the customer's order, and all orders ship free within the U.S. That is Nawai Designs, N-A-W-A-I, designs.com.
Yes, and thank you to them for sponsoring this podcast. I don't know if that's a good decision. I even told my guy over there, I was like, hey, Tyler, just so you know, this podcast is not the most professional thing. You know, it may not be the best look, but they wanted to do it anyways. So we're not going to say no to
ballsy,
you know,
move.
His name's Tyler, ballsy, and he has a tie.
Yes, Tyler. Tyler with the tie company. Yes.
Oh, tie. Yes. Tie makes ice.
I like it.
I didn't even make that connection. It makes sense now. It's like fate. All right.
That reminds me of The Office. When sorry.
Oh no, go ahead. Go ahead. Like, I love. Maybe. We need to talk about The Office. This is great.
Well, just Prentice. It's like sounds a lot like dentist. Like.
Oh yeah,
maybe that's why he became a dentist. Like that was an all-time save by Dwight Schrute.
It's great. I gotta love The Office. Okay, so let us talk. We talked about the Giants, Daniel Jones. They had three picks in the first round, but I want to talk about another team that had three picks in the first round, and that's the Oakland Raiders. So before the Giants blew everything up by drafting Daniel Jones at number six, the big controversy was Clelin Ferrell at number four. Now, I had him in the fan mock draft that you guys did at Simple Man Radio. I had him as the Panthers pick at 16, and I was really happy with that. If that's the guy they would have ended up with at 16. But when he was drafted at four, I got to say, I was like, wow, this is not good. So, Mitch, I guess I'm going to ask you first, what was your thoughts on that pick? And then, you know, into the rest of the first round with Josh Jacobs. And the safety, which I can't remember.
Jonathan Abrams.
What did you think of the Raiders' first round and what they did at number four?
what, you know, I actually had the Raiders taken Clelin Ferrell. But I had them taking at 24. So I had him further down in the first round. Mike Mayock, GM, he's a brand new GM of the Oakland Raiders. He's took a lot of flack for taking Ferrell so high, but he was high on Ferrell even before he became the GM. Uh-huh. And he's one of those guys, like, and I heard this from Rich Eisen on the Pat McAfee show. Go give that podcast a listen, a great listen. He was talking about it where, you know, Mike Mayock's always been a go get your guy type of guy. And he was really high on Clelin Ferrell. So I don't think it really would have mattered where they were at. I think that his goal was to get Clelin Ferrell because he's so high on him.
Right.
And we talked about getting your guy. And obviously, you know, Daniel Jones was the Giants guy. Right. Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray was their guy. They went and got him. Now, obviously, they're the number one pick, so they could have picked anyone. But he went and got his guy. I was really critical at the pick at first because I feel like there are better defensive options there. Josh Allen, Devin White. I like Ed Oliver out of Houston mm-hmm. a lot. I really like Rashawn Gary out of Michigan a lot. But Clelin Ferrell's a pretty damn good defensive player. And I think really he was one of those guys that probably could have gone anywhere in the first round. Now looking in hindsight,
right,
could have gone anywhere in the first round. And we probably would have felt okay with it if it wasn't the top three, because there were three clear numbers. The top three were pretty clear: Murray, uh-huh. Bosa, and Williams. And then anywhere after that, I felt like it was okay for him to go. Okay. And Mayock went and got his guy. And I have come to terms, not because I'm a Raiders fan, but I feel okay. I feel better about this pick now than I did on last Thursday.
All right, Bobby, what were your thoughts?
Well, going into it, like, I wanted Quinn Williams or Josh Allen, and you know, I knew the Jets would take one of those guys. I'm like, the Raiders are going to do something, and they're going to make this able to happen. And they did, and then we took Daniel Jones. But, no, I actually kind of agree with Mitch, where I definitely like Josh Allen at that spot a lot better. But at the same time, like, Clelin Ferrell is a really good football player. And, like, how many times do we see where the number nine guy ends up being better than the number three guy, the number four guy? Like, just because, you know, Kuiper and McShay – say it doesn't, you know, necessarily make it true. And so, like, and I'm not, like, the biggest fan of hiring people from TV, like Mike Mayock, and John Gruden was a coach for a long time, but, like, most of that's just my sense of humor. I like to make fun of people. But, like, Mike Mayock, like, he was on the board on the Khalil Mack over Clowney. He liked Khalil Mack over Clowney in that draft, and obviously mm-hmm. Clowney got hurt, but Khalil Mack, like, how much better could, you know, Clowney be than Khalil Mack, even if he was super healthy?
Right.
So, like, and like you said, like, if you think he's better, go get him. Like, I don't think – like, I'm not going to call the Raiders stupid for going and get – like, for believing in Clelin more than Josh Allen just because I think Josh Allen's better.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Ferrell's obviously a first-round talent. He was one of those guys. I mean, and he – I'd say he's worthy of top half of the first round. I just had him slipping. I think he was one of those guys that could have slipped because there were so many good options. I mean, this was really a great defensive heavy draft. So
yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a defensive line draft as good as this one. I mean, Allen, Williams, Bosa, you know,
Ed Oliver, Farrell,
Ed Oliver, you know, the other two Clemson's guys, Lawrence. I mean, just so many good defensive linemen. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my thing is, and it goes back to the Daniel Jones thing. It's all about value with the pick. So that's where I was like, you know, I like him as a player. Obviously, I would have been very happy if the Panthers ended up with him at 16. But at the same time, I feel like at four, there's just maybe better drafting to go about. You know, you could package
him in
the later first round, move up to 14 and draft him there. And nobody was going to take him. You got to think, you know, I don't think anyone was going to take him in the top 10. So to package 24 in a second and move up and get him at 11, you know, and then you could still get your Josh Allen, or maybe you go Devin White there, or maybe you go Ed Oliver. Like, there's other, and that's my issue with it, is not the player himself, again, like with Daniel Jones, not the player himself, but where you got him. And with multiple first round picks, you have the options of moving up, of trading up and getting that guy, you know, for more value. So I don't know. And we'll see, you know, if he ends up as like you said, Bobby, I mean, you know, sometimes it's the third round pick that ends up as the best player. So this guy could be it. I mean, he could be like the dude. And if it does great, you know, great for them. They figured it out, you know? And so time will tell, but yeah, my biggest issue with it was just the value at number four and what they could have got, or even just trading number four and moving back to like out of the top 10, you could probably still get Farrell and pick up additional drafts, you know, value their draft picks. So I don't know. That was my biggest thing with it. What did you guys feel? I know the picking of Josh Jacobs in the first round is a little controversial with the value of running backs today in the NFL. So did you guys have any issues with them picking Jacobs at 24, or are you cool with that?
Why don't you go first, Bobby?
Okay. Yeah. I actually kind of dislike that one more than the Farrell move, where now Josh Jacobs could be really good and, you know, it won't matter, but it's so hard to, that's actually like the one position at the one school where I will show college bias, where it's hard to like tell if an Alabama running back's going to be good because that how dominant that offensive line is. And then this past year we had Tua paired up with him. I feel like, you know, the running backs in this class, none of them were, you know, like a Saquon or even a Gurley. So I just feel like they could have got, you know, somebody else. I think they could have got him with the second first round pick anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just – as much as I like the Giants picking Saquon last year, Josh Jacobs, he just doesn't really do it for me. Now, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I studied Jacobs like I did Daniel Jones. But, yeah, it's I didn't like it a lot.
I absolutely loved it. I loved this pick, and I love Josh Jacobs. He's built like a three-down back, and that's, I think, what Oakland needs is a three-down back guy. Now, like you said, Alabama running backs, for some reason, and I'm not sure why, they're hard to gauge. We saw a guy like Trent Richardson come out of Alabama, thought he was the next great running back, and obviously he's out of the league now. Derrick Henry was supposed to be a next great back, and he's really had a roller coaster of a career. Josh Jacobs, 5'10", 220, built like a three-down back. Now, he split time with two other backs there, so he was really part of a three-headed monster at Alabama. So his workload was pretty light. How he's going to handle a three-down workload is going to be interesting to see, but I really think this kid is capable of it. Obviously Marshawn leaving probably influenced this pick. I think he was the best running back available in the draft. And I think that this guy is going to pan out if he's used correctly. I think he's got three down potential, but I don't think you could thrust him into a three down role right off the bat. I think they're going to have to use Jalen Richard as a passing down guy or third down guy, and, you know, in medium to long range situations. And I mean, that's where I feel about, but I love this pick. I really think this is going to work out well for Oakland. And I had him going to Oakland at 27. He was taken one pick earlier at 24.
Yeah, you know, so I obviously this is drafting for need here. They needed a running back help. They drafted it. So I get that. But with what we know about running back value in the NFL today, it seems to me they could have got an equally, like, a guy that's going to produce the exact same in, like, the third round or the second round even, and then use that first round pick on, you know, somebody that's, you know, it's going to bring more value to you at that position, at that spot in the draft. So that's like my thing with it. Unless you're going to pick a guy in the top 10 as a running back, I think you have to wait till the second round because nobody's going to be that much more helpful in the late first.
So they wait for like a Singletary or
yeah, I mean Damian Montgomery, his teammate from Alabama. You know, I love, like, I know Bryce Love had a lot of injuries. He fell to the fourth round, but I think Bryce Love's going to be great. I mean, that's a fourth round pick right there. You know, that's,
I mean, just to me, this pick looks a lot smarter now that we know Isaiah Crill just tore his Achilles.
Yeah,
he's done for the year, and they're bringing back Doug Martin. Are you really going to lean on Doug Martin? I mean, 700 plus yards last year. A decent season for a guy that wasn't a lead back.
Right.
But are you really going to lean on Doug Martin in this offense. And so that makes this pick look a lot better. And maybe it looks a lot better now than it did at the time. But, yeah, I don't know.
I actually think Jalen Richard is like a top 10 running back in the league.
Whoa! But, hold up.
No,
whoa.
I just wanted to see your reaction.
Oh, okay. Good. I was like, oh my god, what do we do now?
That is a hot ass take, Bobby. Hot ass take.
Kick you off the podcast now. I just think that's really right.
Well, that's all the time we got, Bobby. But I wanted
to see how polite you guys were. I didn't want to be like, oh yeah, you think that? Like,
no, I would. I mean, I would have loved to hear your reasoning, but I would.
We hang up and we're like, okay, Bobby Skinner's never coming on
like
again.
Never gonna right. it's funny. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Raiders, interesting. Obviously, you know, it's funny to me the draft grades after the draft. I love it. It's like, oh, these guys got an F. And it's like, how do you know? Nobody knows a week after the draft that whether this was successful or not. I mean, look at the Colts last year. You know, Quentin Nelson and Darius Leonard. Obviously, Quentin Nelson was a very, you know, it was a good pick. I think people liked Leonard too, but nobody knew how good that was going to be after the draft. So, like, how can you grade it when these players haven't even played like a game in the NFL? I think that's one of the most laughable things that gets done. It makes no sense to me.
Well, the Giants got an A, so.
The Giants got it. So you're good. See, my Panthers got like a C+. I'm like, what was a C+?
No, the
like,
Giants didn't. I think the Giants probably got the worst one out of. The media has been just kicking us. Like
they have been
kicking
down.
Us
down.
I watched NFL Live on Monday, and they literally had a round table. They just kept on taking turns, like taking dumps on the Giants.
All right. So, Mitch, we talked about Bobby's favorite team and their draft, the Giants. I want to ask you, the Bears had a lighter draft, right? Only 5 picks. No pick until the 3rd round, but – from what they had, how did you feel?
You know what? For not having a pick in the first 2 rounds, I really liked it. I really liked David Montgomery out of Iowa State. A good, solid back. I think he's going to be someone that's going to complement Tariq Cohen and Mike Davis very, very well in that offense. It was kind of an odd selection. 2 running backs, 2 cornerbacks, and then a wide receiver. I think the big win there was getting Riley Ridley in the 4th round, a very talented wide receiver out of Georgia, the younger brother of Calvin Ridley, who entered the league, was it last year?
Yeah, last year. He was rookie last year.
So, for what we had to work with, I feel like we did a good job. The Duke Shelley was pretty highly touted as a late round guy, and they took him in the 6th, I believe. A good solid draft for him. I like it. I'm okay with them giving up the first rounders though, because I mean we got Khalil Mack out of it. So
yeah,
I'm okay with that because I feel like that trade off works out well.
Right. Yeah. When you have Khalil Mack, and I guess their pick would have been 27, right? So
somewhere around there. Yeah.
That would have been the Adams. Was that the safety? Jonathan Abrams, right?
Abrams. Yeah.
So, I mean, would you rather have Khalil Mack or Abrams? I mean, I think he's a great player, but yeah, I think you're probably happy with Khalil Mack there.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Bobby, do you have any thoughts on the Bears draft?
Yeah. I 100% agree with, you'd rather have Mack. And now, they swapped a 2nd and a 1st for next year. So, say the Bears have another good year and say, you know, they have, like, the 28th pick and then the Raiders are horrible and have the 3rd pick. You're only swapping, like, 6 positions. But, I really like the running back out of Iowa State, Montgomery, which is, like, he kind of reminds me of Jordan Howard a little bit where, you know, high volume carries in college. Mm-hmm. He's an okay receiver, which, you know, same as Jordan Howard. So, but I like that. I mean, everyone who I know who was a Bears fan was like running back, running back, running back. And so, yeah, Montgomery was the guy. And I like the kid out of FAU. I can't remember his name. I don't like him. I just like that he went to FAU, Florida Pride. And then Corey Litter out of Ole Miss. Like you draft an Ole Miss tackle, and it just – I feel like those guys always work out. Michael Orr was, a solid player. Laremy Tunsil has been really good for Miami. Obviously, they're not the same players. But I like Greg Little a lot. I actually wanted the Giants to get him if he were to fall a little bit further. So, yeah, I mean, for, you know, not having a first-round pick or a second-round pick, I think I like what the Bears did.
I do worry a little bit about Kareth White Jr., the FAU running back, because I feel like with Cohen, Davis, and then drafting a guy like Montgomery, it's a little bit crowded of a backfield, and it almost feels like a waste of a pick to take a second running back in the sixth round, or I'm sorry, in the seventh round.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a little bit of a waste of a pick. You know, I said that they're probably, I've said a couple times on this podcast that they're one defensive, that they're one of those front four guys away from being, again, another elite defense.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even sustaining what they did last year. And I felt like maybe they could have taken a late round flyer on maybe something that was available, maybe a second level guy or another edge rusher. And I feel like that was kind of a squandered pick almost. Like it was kind of wasted. Not to say that Kareth White Jr. isn't a talented guy. He could be, but I feel like they really wasted a pick almost putting a guy in such a crowded backfield now with adding Montgomery and then having Mike Davis and Tariq Cohen already present there. It seems like a little bit of a waste.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you got to wonder, seventh round, I mean, if these guys turn out to be solid special teams players, you're probably pretty happy with like a seventh round pick. So, I mean, you got to wonder, you know, maybe that's it. You know, maybe that's just like, hey, we feel like he'll be good in the special teams game and, you know, that's the value he brings. Then good, I guess. But, I mean, I understand because they did, you know, two corners, two running backs, and a wide receiver. So didn't address many positions. And so you got to wonder, yeah, why not go somebody else, somewhere else with that pick when you already drafted a running back? I could feel you on that.
Yeah, I mean, and secondary was probably another place that they probably needed the work in. Just because, you know, they're a little bit aging. Eddie Jackson isn't getting any younger. I know he's at the safety position, but, you know, Kyle Fuller has had some lingering stuff that makes him either, you know, available one week and not the next week. Could be an elite cornerback, and he is probably, in my mind at least, an elite cornerback. But that injury scares a little, you know, that injury bug worries me a little bit. I feel like maybe they got a depth guy, Duke Shelley out of Kansas State. Mm-hmm. Maybe they got a depth guy there, and you know, not bad picks.
Right.
They did well with what they had, though. Did well with what they have.
Hey, guys, I don't want to interrupt you. I just want to say I'm sorry for being so stupid. I had Greg Little written down, but I forgot that was for the Panthers.
Oh, it's all good. I didn't even notice, to be honest. So it is no worries. But speaking of the Panthers, I'd like to talk about my Panthers. Right?
Yes, talk about your Panthers.
First round, Brian Burns. I really am high on Montez Sweat, and I really wanted, if he fell to 16, that's who I wanted for the Panthers.
Even with his fake heart condition?
Yes, even with his fake heart condition, I definitely wanted him.
His broken heart.
Right.
Oh,
but like, poor guy. I understood the Brian Burns bit because they're trying to go for a more versatile defense. So they want to be able to switch between 4-3 and 3-4. And Montez Sweat is a, you know, hand on the ground, you know, in a 4-3 kind of guy, where Brian Burns can kind of do both. He can be the, you know, be the linebacker in a 3-4, but he can also put his, you know, hand in the ground on a 4-3. So I get that pick for it. He's extremely athletic. Everything I've seen from him after they drafted him has been great. So I'm cool with that. They traded up in the second round to get Greg Little. I was very happy with that because if they weren't going to address the edge rusher in the first round, it had to be an offensive tackle, and they got that early in the second. He fell that far, and I was just cool with it. I thought that was great. The one controversial pick that we made, if you ask the fan base, is Will Greer in the third round. The Panthers hadn't drafted a single quarterback since they drafted Cam Newton in 2011. So for like 8 years, they haven't even drafted a quarterback in like the seventh round, like nobody. So it's about damn time we drafted another quarterback. And so many Panthers fans are like, how could we do this to Cam Newton? He's our guy. How can we draft this other kid? And I'm like, guys, we need to have a guy that can play. I mean, they were 6-2 last year and only won one more game in the second half of the season because Cam Newton couldn't throw it past 20 yards. It would have been great to have a good backup that could throw the ball. We could actually won some games and, like, made the playoffs. But we need like we like teams need a good quarterback. We've seen it so many times. Look at the Eagles. They had Nick Foles and they were able to win a Super Bowl because of it. So I love the Will Greer pick. I'm just glad they picked somebody and spent a valuable pick, like a third-round pick, on it. I want to know – obviously, you're not Panthers fans, so you're not as passionate about this as I am. But do you, like, what do you think of them drafting quarterback in the third round? Is that controversial or not? And then I guess the other picks as a whole, what are your thoughts?
Well, you guys needed a guy behind Cam. I mean – you can't have Derek Anderson year in, year out. Or I don't even know if he's still there
anymore. No, he's not. It is Kyle Allen and Taylor Heineke, which I hadn't even heard about those guys, like, ever. So
Tyler Heineke is like a junior Derek Anderson too, isn't he? Isn't he like 6'6"?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you can't have a guy like that in the offense that's predicated on, where it's kind of read option when you have a healthy Cam Newton. Will Greer at least has that ability to – run that style of offense, and coming out of West Virginia, they kind of do that a little bit. I don't mind Will Greer going in the third. I mean, obviously he wasn't. I mean, he's got the name, right? Because he plays at the big school, West Virginia, and everyone knows who Will Greer is. He's kind of the playboy type guy, but he obviously wasn't one of the best quarterbacks in the draft. Right. And so go getting a guy like him in the third round, I feel like, is a good pick. Now, the Brian Burns thing is something I really love. And I mean, we could talk about first-round picks all day long. But Brian Burns, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he could be Von Miller-like.
Ooh.
I would love
that and hate that because I hate Von Miller.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, can put his hand in the ground, could stand up. Very, very fast. Ran a very good 40 time for a guy his size. He's 6'5", 249, and ran a 5'4", 340 at the combine.
4'4", 3, right?
No, 5'4", or 4'5", 3. Yeah, okay, 4'5", 3.
A 5'4", 3 would be terrible.
Now, that sounds like me. That is a Rich Eisen time.
I was like, I'd be happy if I ran a 5'4", 3, to be honest. But yeah.
That is a Rich Eisen 40. A good vertical, good on the broad jump and the cone and three cone drill. That type of player. And I feel like he probably has the potential to do that. Now, I don't know if he's going to, I mean, it's time will tell if he's going to be Von Miller like, but he definitely possesses that skill set and that speed off the edge that he could be that type of guy. And so I feel like, obviously that was probably their best pick.
Yeah,
I agree. And honestly, could be one of the top 10 picks of the first round.
You're making me feel great, Mitch. I enjoy this. Bobby, keep the positivity coming.
I'm going to have to. I like the Will Greer draft, but I will say the Panthers seem to be addicted to Gator quarterbacks who get kicked out of UF after their freshman year.
Yeah.
with Cam Newton and Will Greer. But you guys said, and just to echo what you guys said, like, Cam Newton was obviously banged up, and the Panthers felt like there's no way we're going to be able to sustain with him hurt. So they're bringing in another guy who, I don't think Will Greer is some great quarterback, but he no doubt is going to be like a playmaker. He's not going to, be like you said, a Tyler Heineke, where just, goes 11 for 19 with, 95 yards. He's going to, at least try and make some plays. The Brian Burns move, I love that. In fact, you guys were one pick ahead of the Giants. I believe if you guys don't pick Burns, I think we take him at that spot. Because I just think he's such a good versatile player and a good pass rusher. And I'll say Greg Little. I liked him on the Bears, and I liked him on the Panthers even more. I like Greg Little a lot out of Ole Miss. So, yeah, I'm not going to repeat myself on Greg Little.
Yeah, no, I was happy they moved up for him because they had two third round picks. They sent their second and one of their thirds to move up to get him, and they need offensive line help really bad. I thought they addressed it well in free agency, but to add a guy like this in to compete and could be a centerpiece of their offensive line for a long time, I think he's great. I was very happy. I got to say, pretty sure it was, I don't know if McShay or Kiper did the draft grades on ESPN, but when they gave the Panthers a C+, I was like, I was so mad. I was so mad. I was like, listen, I mean, this wasn't like an A+ draft, maybe not even an A, but it's a B. Come on. It's a B. Like to C+ the Panthers draft, I lost a lot of respect for whichever McShay or Kai, whichever one. I don't like them both right now until I figure out which one wrote that.
As Stephen A would say, just so disrespectful. It's disrespectful.
Supposed to get Brian Burns, a guy supposed to go top 10 at 16. Right. I think it's probably just some Will Greer hate.
I think it was a little bit of that and Greg Little. I think it was Kuiper's not big on Greg Little like at all. Thinks he's trash, basically. So I'm sure that didn't help.
You should call him Little Greg.
Little Greg. I like it. I'm going to tweet at the Panthers and ask them to make that his nickname. So, all right. So we've talked about our favorite teams. I want to do this. So I want you guys to share your favorite draft class outside of your favorite team. Because obviously we're all happy for our teams. We all feel positive about it, as fans should. And I think that's great. But outside of your favorite teams and the ones we've mentioned already, what was the draft class that you're like, man, they nailed it? I'll start with you, Bobby. What do you think?
It might just be the Colts, because I pay attention to them, you know, probably the most besides the Giants, because Zach's a Colts fan. And even like they traded out the first round and then they traded back a couple of picks in the second round. And I texted Zach. I was like, I feel like Chris Ballard's getting a little too cute because he had such a good draft last year.
He traded a lot. I mean, they were trading up and down and left and right. I mean, they ended up with how many picks? How many picks did they make? 10 picks?
I don't know. I know they got some for next year.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, all right, how about you draft a player? Like, I get, like, you know, you're trying to be smart on everybody. But when they did, like, they got Rocky Sin, the corner out of Temple. I like him a lot, even though he should change his name to Repent from His Sin. I think he's a beast. I think he's – and he's, like – it's, like, a need and a best available, because, you know, he probably should have went a little higher. And then they got the wide receiver out of Ohio State, Paris Campbell, who, you know, when I was bashing Dwayne Haskins yesterday, I used a highlight of him taking 178 yards. And that's perfect for Luck, you know. And I'm like I love Andrew Luck. Like, I couldn't hate on him if I wanted to. And I think he's going to be perfect for them. It's going to take a little bit of pressure off T.Y. Hilton. Yeah. So, yeah, I've been so engulfed in the Giants that I've kind of almost forgot about every other team. But the Colts, I definitely like their draft.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and they got Ben Benogu in the second round and Paris Campbell in the second round. Bobby Okereke in the third, which I really liked. I mean, they had good value for their picks. They really did.
Yeah, the kid out of TCU, Ben, whatever his name is, he's a really good pass rusher. I like him. I don't know much about the Stanford linebacker, but, I mean, I don't know much on him.
I saw his name a lot sooner than the third round. So to get him late third, I think, is just good value there for them. And then, like you said, all the wheeling and dealing, they ended up with 3 second-rounders and future picks. So, I mean, you can't be mad about that.
Right.
All right, Mitch, what was your draft class that stuck out to you?
Well, you know, Bobby, you kind of stole it from me. I was I really like the Colts, but I'm going to go to the San Francisco 49ers. I really like their draft class. Obviously, you get a guy like Nick Bosa who can be the cornerstone of a rebuild on a defense that showed promise and has some talent there, but then you put a young guy like Nick Bosa there to kind of build around for the future. I really like that. But I also like Debo Samuel out of South Carolina, the wide receiver they took number 36 in the second round. Really like the talent that he brings. Jalen Hurd, another wide receiver. Obviously, the 49ers were a team that needed help offensively and need to give Jimmy Garoppolo some weapons there. And taking two wide receivers back-to-back, I think, really helps him there. I really like the Debo Samuel and the Jalen Hurd picks. The further down you get in this draft, they took the lone punter, Mitch Wisnowski.
You feel good with the punter from Utah in the fourth round, Mitch. You're good with that?
Punters are people, too, okay? Punters are people, too.
Didn't the Patriots get one, too?
I think the Patriots got somebody like the fifth. I think it was the fifth or sixth.
They got a place kick. No, sorry, that was the Browns. They got Austin.
Yeah, Jake Bailey in the fifth round. That was New England.
Yeah, Jake Bailey out of Stanford. I mean, special teams making a name for themselves here in the draft. But you know what?
I like Wisnowski out of Utah. I mean, I've seen
he's got him a great name
covering,
too.
Covering Utah sports here. I mean, I've seen him.
He's got a great name.
Solid, a name like Ray Guy winner. I mean, I don't know, but fourth round
with a name like.
with a name like Mitch, he's got to be good.
Right. So, that's it. That's it. Yeah. You know? Mitch, oh, he's solid. Mitch Trubisky, Mitch Wisnowski, you know, whatever his name is.
Well, Trubisky's yet to be seen, guys. I mean, we still got to figure that guy out a little bit. But, yeah, I really like the Niners draft. I think they did a great job with what they got. John Lynch did a great job picking these guys this year, and I'm really looking forward actually to see what the Niners will be able to do with this young talent and a healthy Jimmy G going into 2019. Eat that cookie.
Sorry, my wife brought in fresh cookies. Oh, nice. So we got to sit here and enjoy these. So, Bobby, any thoughts on San Francisco's draft class?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. You know whose class I liked, and a lot of people bashed it, was actually the Cardinals. Did I just steal that from you, Dallin?
No. I am actually glad neither of you guys stole the one I want to talk about. So that's great.
I love Hakeem Butler, fourth round. That's a good pick.
I was gonna say I like Hakeem Butler. I love Andy. Like the Now, no doubt the Cardinals O line sucks, and they probably should have addressed that. But if you're gonna do this running gun like Wild West offense with Kingsbury, you might as well do it. And I hate the Kingsbury hire. I think it's one of the dumbest moves of all time. I think the Cardinals are one of the worst organizations of all time. But if you're going to do something, go balls to the wall. You get Kyler, and you add Andy Isabella, who I love. I think he's good.
Oh, yeah.
Harmon, the big guy out of, what was it, NC State or Indiana?
Oh, no, they didn't. So they got Hakeem Butler, Andy Isabella, and Keyshawn Johnson out of Fresno State in the sixth.
Yeah, they got him later around. And then they got another weapon on the offense. I'm trying to think.
They got a tight end in the seventh, Caleb Wilson. Everything else was defensive or offensive line.
Okay. Well, I really like Andy Isabella and the other receiver. I always get him in, was it Harmon?
Yeah, Hakeem Butler. But, yeah, Kelvin Harmon or something like that from NC State.
I always get those two mixed up because they're both 6'5". but, yeah, I like him and then Isabella.
Yeah, the Cardinals got really good value. I mean, Byron Murphy even in the second. I mean, he was looked at by a lot of people as, you know, if Greedy Williams is the best corner, then Murphy's number two. So to get him in the second, I mean, is great value. And then – like Butler in the third. I mean, they got a lot of good value for their picks.
Deontay Thompson out of Alabama in the fifth.
I wanted the Panthers to take him really bad, and he fell to the fourth. And was it the fourth or the fifth?
Top end of the fifth. First pick of the fifth.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they had a very good draft as well. So my team, the one that I thought really, really had a very good draft was the Washington Redskins. Mm. I really, really liked their draft. I like Haskins. I think he is the second best quarterback in this draft behind Kyler. And to not move anywhere and get him, I think, is why that pick is so good. They didn't have to move up. A lot of people thought Haskins was going top 10, maybe even top 5. So to stay at 15 and not move and still get Haskins, I thought was great. That's great value at that pick. And then to move back up for Montez Sweat, who I'm really high on, I thought that was a great move. A very smart move. Terry McLaurin in the third round out of Ohio State to pair with Haskins, a teammate. Great. I'm super high on Bryce Love. I think he's going to be great. They got him in the fourth. Kelvin Harmon, the guy we were just talking about, fell to the sixth round, and they got him in the sixth. Like, they didn't do anything crazy. They sat where they needed to and made the smart move up for Montez Sweat when it was opportune. And I think they just played that all great, and they got rewarded for it.
Are you not worried about Bryce Love getting washed out in that backfield right now with Chris Thompson and Darius Geis coming back and then Adrian Peterson still being there? Are you not worried about him getting washed out?
No, because he has the injury. So he doesn't have to play this year at all. Like, he doesn't have to. And so that allows him to be 100% healthy when you try to use him. AP's not going to last that much longer. So he's maybe got another year. Who knows how
this is
for him. And then Darius Geis is great. Chris Thompson's a good, you know, change of pace back, you know, with what they're doing. But I think Bryce Love has a legitimate shot of being a starting NFL quarterback. I mean, he was a Heisman candidate. I mean, this kid is great. So to get him in the fourth, I think is awesome, despite all the injury history. So, yeah, I'm really high on Washington.
Yeah, I like Washington, but I'm a Giants fan. I can't say that.
That's true. I'll delete that off the podcast. Nobody hears it.
And I have to bash Haskins. No, the Harmon pick, Bryce Love, I'm with you, Dan. Like, if you're there in like the third, fourth round, take a shot on the kid. Like you said, like he was supposed to be a top 10 pick coming into the year, and then the injury happens. Like he can come back from that. And then Terry McLaurin, I love that pick. I really like him a lot. And then Montez Sweat, who I don't know what the deal is with the heart is, so like I'm not going to bash any team for not picking him. But I think you know, from 10 to the Redskins, I think everybody – every fan, when their team came up, was like, Montez Sweat's on the board. Let's get Montez Sweat. And the Redskins, you know, finally were the team that pulled the trigger. So, I mean, the risk-reward on that, you know, is yet to be seen. But it's, you know, it's a very high ceiling.
I mean, can we talk about for a second, just like, how do you mess up diagnosing a heart condition? Like.
Yeah, that's a great question.
How do you mess that up? I don't understand.
Wait, what happened? Fill me in.
Well, it was misdiagnosed.
Yeah, apparently it came out like day of the draft that like it wasn't as serious as they made it sound like. But then I think some teams were skeptical of believing that. I mean, who knows? This dude's heart could be completely normal, or like he could actually have an issue. But we have no idea, which is why
he could have two hearts. He could have two hearts.
Right? We really don't know. So I mean, it's hard to like. And that's we talked about this before we started recording, but like it's hard to believe this kind of stuff. I mean, who knows? Like this kid could be fine, and he could be the best edge rusher in this draft, and we could be like, why did he fall this far? Or he could last 2 years in the league, you know?
Could you imagine if it is fake and you're Montez Sweat and like just yelling at the TV, like, stop believing in it.
Yeah, and how much money you missed out on by falling that? You're just like, damn it, guys, come on, my heart's fine. Like, let me be a top 10. I mean, he was projected a lot at like Tampa Bay at 5. I mean, mm-hmm. He could have been a top 5, but like probably for sure a top 10 pick. So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big fall. That's like a Laremy Tunsil type fall, you know, for a player like that.
Well, Laremy Tunsil smoked a lot of weed.
I'm not comparing the situations. I'm just saying, you know, Tunsil was like a for sure top 10 who fell out, and Montez, same thing.
Tunsil's cardiac issues were from a completely different thing. It was because his lungs were filled with THC. So,
how about Lael Collins, where the day before the draft was like, yeah, he was questioned about a murder.
Right.
He goes in the first round to undrafted, and the next day you're like, no, that's actually not – he has nothing to do with it. So he goes from a first-round pick to undrafted free agent.
The draft rumors are always fun. Okay, so before we close this out, I just want to ask, was there any picks, any teams that we haven't already talked about that you wanted to just want to talk about real quick before we kind of wrap this up? Anything that stuck out to you guys that you want to mention?
N'Keal Harry to the Patriots.
Yeah, drafting a wide receiver first round.
I mean, obviously they need the wide receiver help, but like a guy as talented as N'Keal Harry going to go play for Tom Brady, whose 78-year-old ass is going to be throwing him touchdown passes all year. I mean, are we looking at like I'm looking at this from a fantasy perspective? Is this a guy that like is going to be valued higher than where he was taken?
I don't know. That's a good – I mean, obviously, fit-wise, I mean, it's a great situation for him. So, I mean, and they need wide receivers, and so I think he'll be able to come in and play a big role. So, I mean, we may see a pretty productive rookie season out of him in that offense.
Yeah. I mean, that and DK Metcalf, I mean, I think he slipped a lot further than people thought they were going to go. He wound up going last pick of the second.
I think Metcalf is the first player – in history of the draft where he had these amazing measurables like and everyone fell in love with him at the combine. I think he was the first player where the whole league like came together and was like, yeah, but I don't know, he kind of sucks. Like I think this was the first time, maybe it's because Al Davis is dead, but I think it's the first time that's like actually happened.
Yeah, you know, that was crazy to me that like 2 days before the draft he was like top 10 pick. I mean, people were like, oh, Detroit at 8, you know, Bills at 9, you know, like, and then he falls to, pick 64, the last pick in the second round of Seattle. I mean, that was pretty crazy. I don't know if we've seen anything like that. I mean, and this was a guy, too, that wasn't going to be a top 10 pick, but then goes to the combine and looks like freaking Godzilla out there. And then it's like, oh, my gosh, like, who is this guy? We need to draft him. And then he goes back to probably where he should have been drafted all along. Like late second. That was a weird thing that happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Very weird thing.
I actually am wrong about who I thought had the best draft now that I'm thinking about it. The Jags. I love the Jags.
Oh,
draft.
Yeah.
Obviously, Obviously, Josh Allen, who I thought was going to go sixth. Like, that's just, you know, a great value pick. And then Juwan Taylor, the tackle out of Florida, he was supposed to be, like, he was rumored to go top 10 to be the top tackle off the board. And somehow he fell into the second round. And then, and I'll give a little quick plug, Josh Oliver, the tight end out of San Jose State. He might have just been on Swimman Radio on Monday. I mean, so no bias involved, but I really like him. He doesn't block, but he's a really good receiving tight end. I've been watching him for a while. So yeah, I like Josh Oliver a lot. I think the Jaguars had a really good draft.
Yeah, and the mustachioed hero, Gardner Minshew himself. I mean, that's their future quarterback there in the sixth round.
Yeah.
So, you know, got to like that.
Better than Bortles.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Well, all right. Is that all we got?
I think that's about it. Yeah, I mean, I think we hit on pretty much everything that I wanted to talk about here. One thing. We were talking about the Patriots. Jarrett Stidham, fourth round. They get a quarterback. I mean, who knows how this guy develops and how much time Brady has. There's a lot of questions there. Were you guys surprised by that? Are you excited about that? Do you think it's going to work out for them? Is this like heir apparent, or is this just a guy?
It might be just a guy. I mean,
yeah, I agree. Just a guy.
Yeah. I mean,
or
people were excited about Jimmy G. People were excited about Jacoby Brissett, and
yeah,
wound up being, I mean, Jimmy G could be a really good quarterback, but like Jacoby Brissett's now just a guy. So like,
right. So what you're telling me is that in 3 years, Jarrett Stidham's going to get traded for like a second round pick and then get paid like $150 million.
He's a future quarterback of the Detroit Lions.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly
Dude, that's
right.
Perfect. Patricia loves this.
Write this down, guys. It's like clockwork. He will get traded for a late first in 2022. And then be the future of the Detroit Lions.
I'm gonna remember that.
I will tell you, it's great. That seems so right, Mitch.
Then we'll come back here and we'll talk about how Jarrett Stidham is throwing 35 touchdowns a year in Detroit as the next Matthew Stafford.
Right. There you go.
There we go.
I love it. Well, yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up. Bobby, thanks for coming on and talking NFL draft with us. It's been fun.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I always love coming on and talking with you guys. And we'll definitely have you guys on the show, maybe even before this comes out. I don't know when you guys let it out. So you'll be on here soon.
Maybe soon. That is right.
Hey, Bobby, why don't you go ahead and plug all your socials, plug your podcast, let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, basically, I'll say just, you know, we do have the Instagram at Simpleman Radio. But basically, Twitter, just follow me at Bobby Skinner NFL. And then that's where, you know, we have the pages for the Talking Giants and for Simpleman Radio. That's all in my bio. But, yeah, follow me on Twitter at Bobby Skinner NFL. I add the NFL at the end to make myself feel more important than I really am.
It sounds official. It sounds official.
It really
does. I mean, nobody cares what Bobby Skinner says on Twitter, but Bobby Skinner NFL. Now, I mean, that's a guy who knows what he's talking about.
Yes, sir.
Well, to be fair, I would have at Bobby Skinner, but that guy hasn't used his Twitter in 5 years and has no picture.
That's the worst. And now you can't get
it. We're kind of on that boat right now. I'm not going to lie. We got to get back into that. I think it was actually last NBA playoffs was the last time.
Last time we posted on our Twitter. Yeah, we don't use our Twitter very often, but at Sports Hour Guys, if anybody wants to drop us a follow and then not see anything from us for months. So thank you for coming on, Bobby. We appreciate it. Say hi to Zach for us. One day we'll get him on here as well. It's been fun.
Sounds good, fellas. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So, Mitch, that is it, right?
That is going to do it.
We didn't do a mid-roll. So, here's the socials again. Twitter is at Sports Hour Guys. Instagram at The Sports Hour Guys. You can find us on Facebook. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Nawai Designs, Sports Hour 5, $5 off your first order. All that info is in the description of this episode.
That's right. All there. Get on the socials, guys. Get a part of the conversation. Go give us a rating. Give us a review. Tell us we suck. That's the only way that we can get better.
And we will catch you next week.
Oh, see ya.